What is going on, dads? And welcome to The Betwixt. It's episode 72, recorded on Sunday, November 21st, 2021. I'm your host, John, and thank you for joining me tonight for some Nintendo and Demon Pokemon. A bit of a fun one today, at least for me, but hopefully for you too. I'm going to be discussing Shin Megami Tensei V, a game I did not think I would ever play. Still maybe don't know why I did. I'm new to the series, much like I was new to Monster Hunter, and I gave tips on Monster Hunter back in episode 39. Oh my gosh, it's like half the show ago. Actually, I wouldn't mind going back and listening to my tips. I gave a bunch of tips, I think, when I was not even 10 hours in on Monster Hunter, and now I'm over 100 hours in. I'd be curious to know kind of where I was right or wrong, but I'm going to be doing tips on Shin Megami Tensei V. This game came out recently, last week. And I think what we've seen with the Switch is that people become very new to a series much more easily on the Switch. I think a lot of people got into Monster Hunter Rise, and I think this game is going to be the same way. The Switch just has an accessible way to bring people in. So it brought me in, and I'm hoping to help some people to come in. Been having fun, so I want to talk about it. Before I get started, though, just a couple of quick announcements. Monthly Mayhem is underway. We started it's primarily a Mario Tennis tournament. If you are not in the tournament, it's too late to get in. We've just started round one. We've got a group of six of us, and it's going to be a five-round tournament, and each round, the parameters of the match are already known. So that's going to make this kind of fun, because I haven't given away what's coming up in round two, round three, round four, round five, but Drew and I already have it kind of settled out, and we're going to be doing randomizations, and there's going to be times when you are going to be forced to use a certain character. Some different courts. We even have some unlockable courts that are coming that you're going to have to unlock before you can even compete. So it's going to make it fun. Really fun game. And this is part of the N64 expansion pack, which is a requirement. But a really fun game. Very easy to pick up and play. Like, it's a very familiar tennis game, unlike maybe Mario Tennis Aces or something where you can kind of play, but they have all those cutscenes and stuff like that. So really fun little thing. But there's lots of little cool, stuff to look up. I've been doing that. How to unlock certain courts has been really fun. There's characters you can unlock. So I'm into it. I wasn't really going to play the N64 stuff when I got the expansion pack. I've got a Genesis controller on my way. But, it's going to be a good time. And it's easy to play with regular controls. You don't need a N64 controller, really, for this game. It's pretty easy. And then if you do want to play, but you're not in the tournament, we have Gunstar Heroes as our alternate game. You'll get points for getting through levels, and you'll get points for beating the game, that sort of thing. This is a very, very well-known, popular game on the Genesis, so if you haven't played it, this is a great time to do that. And then next week on our show, it'll be Drew and I, and we have Hambone Johnny joining us. And we're going to ask Hambone Johnny a bunch of questions, mostly weird questions. So if you have some questions for Hambone Johnny, things you want to know about his life, send them to us. You can DM me if you want to keep it secret from his eyes. And we'll ask it next week. So it should be a lot of fun. In terms of games I've been playing, it's getting complicated. I'm playing three games at once right now. Obviously, Shin Megami Tensei V. I just started Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Friday. I was going to wait on that, but my son was really excited to play Pearl, and so I'm kind of playing along with him, just trying to keep up. And I'm also playing Red Dead Redemption 2 on the Xbox. I'm going to have probably a lot to say about Red Dead next week's episode. I won't talk about that there. And Pokemon, I don't know what there is to talk about Pokemon. It looks great. My Pokemon Diamond was my first Pokemon game, so I'm really excited to play sort of this little remaster. And it's just classic Pokemon. As I describe it, it's soul food. It's kind of the same game, especially the older games. It's kind of the same game over and over again. It's just comfortable to play, and I just like to go in and just fill up my decks and, you know, find all the trainers and find all the items. And I love when I'm overpowered and I come back to some of these older areas. It's just soul food, man. You either like it or you don't. You know, nothing magical. I mean, well, it's magical, but like nothing new and exciting or whatever. It's a lot of fun. So I'll talk about that a little bit next week as well. But anyway, it is very interesting that we got Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Pokemon within a week of each other. They do have some obvious similarities. In both games, you're recruiting monsters of some type. In Pokemon, you evolve them, and in SMT, you fuse them together. And there's a lot of exploration and items and that sort of thing. But that's pretty much where they end. The games do play very differently, and the way you play them is very different. I would say you are a little more upright and attentive in SMT. In Pokemon, you can, you know, oftentimes if you have like a overpowered Pokemon, you don't even switch your Pokemon anymore, right? I mean, like, I'm definitely not a fan of switching Pokemon mid-fight. I just feel like it takes too long. So, you know. But, yeah, they do play very differently. I'm about 12 hours into SMT. And what we're going to go through right now, I'm going to give some tips on how to play and kind of talk about the game. But I'm not going to give any story spoilers, mostly because I don't totally understand the story. But I'm not going to give any story spoilers because that's not important here. But I will get into some of the details of the game, which you might interpret as spoilers. But don't worry too much about that. I do want to get into the details of the game, though, because if I don't, then I really can't help you. So I'm going to talk about certain aspects of the game and how to like sort of approach fights and approach playing the game. If you haven't played the game yet, you know, by the time you play the game, you'll probably have forgotten it. If you have played the game, you know, this will help you along. But I think it can really help you from kind of rage quitting here, because I'll talk about it a little later. There's a couple times where I almost just kind of quit this game and said it's not for me. You know, I went into it knowing it might not be for me, but I'm still going. So I'm still going strong. But it's a big game adjustment. It's just like Monster Hunter. If you've never played this before, there are a lot of aspects. They do teach you the game a lot better. There's a lot of mechanics you'll see here, but honestly, they do it in such a progressive way. I didn't have a hard time understanding the game. I never felt overwhelmed by mechanics. They did a really good job with it. But there's a way you use these things. Sometimes you need help. And so, you know, find your closest SMT veteran and be sure to pelt them with a couple questions. I learned a lot on my own, but I've also watched some tip videos and, you know, consulted a hint guide or two. I feel like I have a really good understanding of how to, like, play right now. So, but anyway, the fun part about this game is this game was announced November 29th, 2017. That was about a month after the first reveal of the Nintendo Switch. And I just watched the trailer right before I started the show because I don't remember it. Because I remember when they announced it, I was like, I've heard of this game, but I don't really care about it. And it's amazing. It didn't come out until a week ago. So, I mean, waiting about four years for this game. And for a long time, we didn't hear anything about it. And then once they started saying it's coming out and we got a date, we actually did get a lot of videos from Nintendo. They've really hyped this one up a lot. So the basic story is you play as a high school student in Tokyo, Japan, and there's rumors of these demons that are attacking other students, right? Oh, there was a shadow and it stole my purse and whatever. So you and some friends are kind of like talking about it, and you kind of investigate this tunnel area where demons were found. And what happens is you get sucked into this alternate universe. It's like a future. It's like a past of Tokyo, right? And I do kind of know the story, but I don't want to give anything away. But it's this alternate reality. It's a different Tokyo. There's demons all over the place, and you get attacked. And what happens is this being guy, his name is Ayagami. He's kind of like a knowledge or whatever, but he merges with you. And you turn into this Nahobino, they call you. So you're like a human and this other thing, and you're merged together. You look really cool. You look very like, you know, I don't know, anime, but like, you know, we've seen these kinds of like Japanese characters before. You have this long blue hair. My daughter said, like, called him a girl, and I was like, no, I'm a boy. And he's like, but you got this long blue hair. And I was like trying to tell my daughter, like, don't worry about it. I just got long blue hair. But you're this merged character. And primarily this game is kind of like Pokemon, like I said, except you have like a party of four. But that party of four includes you. So you do fighting as well as these demons that you're going to capture. You keep all your demons with you. So you don't, there's no PC to put your Pokemon in or whatever. You keep all your demons with you, but you only have a fighting party of three of them alongside you. And you can swap them in and out during the fights. But so you do keep all of them with you. You take turns. The turn system's a little weird, and I won't even try to explain it. But you get a certain set of turns, but you can do repeat turns, or you can lose turns. I might talk about that later, but on every turn you can do basically like a physical attack or what they call like a force attack, which is like for free. You can do magical attacks, which use up MP. You can do guard. You can talk to the demons, which is the primary mechanic in this game. You can switch out your demons or you can use items, and only you can use items. When it's your demon's turn, they can't use any of your items. Which I kind of wish you could, but I think that's just part of the strategy of the game. So if you want to use like a health item, you have to do it on your particular turn, not your demon's turns. So sometimes you do end up like feeling like the item person and not even doing the fighting, unless you're fighting like the common demons. So the key here is just like with Pokemon, the demons have what are called like affinities, right? They have like, it might be strong with fire, weak to ice, that sort of thing. And so that you do have these like weaknesses and strengths that you sort of sort out. And it kind of reminds me of Octopath at times. When you fight an enemy you haven't fought before, they show all their affinities, but it doesn't tell you what they're strong or weak against. And if you try to like attack them with like a lightning attack and they're weak to it, it'll show up that they're weak to it. But you only know when you actually use the attack. And so it's very much like Octopath in that way. So a lot of times when you fight an enemy, especially like, you know, early on or common enemies, whatever, use different attacks on them. Even if you find something that works, try to use different fire, you know, use the fire attack, use the ice attack, and just to make sure you know all their weaknesses, because it might come in handy later when you have different demons. But these affinities are very similar to how Pokemon does it, except that they're even more important, because like I said, you can lose a turn. If you attack a demon with an affinity, like let's say fire, that they are immune against, not only will that attack not land, but you will lose an extra turn. So you really want to know what their affinities are. Usually enemies have one, maybe two, that they are like immune against. It's not like half of them are, but most of the time there's like something they're particularly weak against, something they're particularly strong against, and then the other stuff. But it's very important to know. So like I said, use different attacks throughout the game. If you fight that enemy four or five times, try some different attacks, really get the whole idea. You can use a spyglass too to find this information out. It's again, like Octopath. It is a big world. When you first drop into this world, into the alternate world, you will progressively learn some different mechanics and go. But you're in this big space. Lots of nooks and crannies and stuff like that. But, you know, the main gameplay loop is you've met up with this, like, he's basically like a trader, a merchant. And you have to find these little Meemons for Gustav. And these Meemons are hiding all over the place. Sometimes you can kind of see them as you're walking around. Oftentimes, like, they're on some platform. You have to figure out how to get up there. Or they're hiding behind a rock or something like that. But they're really fun to find, and you get glory points for each one that you find. And you'll use this later for purchasing miracles. You're going to be dealing with getting essences, which are little powers that you can apply to your demons. You're going to want to level up your demons, which is a pretty slow process. But, you know, you're going to level up yourself and your demons. There is this character named Amanazako. She's like this little fairy, and she's like alone, and she hangs with you, and she finds hidden things for you. So as you're walking around, she'll be like, hey, 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 you know, she's, yeah, very much like that. And, you know, she might find you some money. She might find you some items. She's fun. You'll find these little icons on the map, and you just try to go to them and get them all. There's tons of side quests. Some of them have some interesting stories. You know, sometimes they're fetch quests. Sometimes they're go kill this thing quests. They're usually worthwhile to do. I like to try to do all of them. And then there's demon fusions. We'll get into this a little bit more in a bit. But it's kind of the core mechanic of the game. When you fight a demon, you can talk to the demon. Your main character can talk to the demon. And it's basically a negotiation to get them to join your party. The conversations will repeat for at times, but man, there's a lot of different conversations. So sometimes a monster will be like, hey, what are you looking at? And you have a certain set of responses. You know, you can say nothing. You can be mean. You can be nice or whatever. I don't know if the particular demons have certain, proclivities to you should be nice to that kind of demon or not, or if it's kind of random. I don't know. Yeah, you basically negotiate. Now, oftentimes they'll ask for money, they'll ask for items, all sorts of things. You have to decide if you're going to do that. You can sometimes tell them, ask me for something else. But yeah, then eventually you can recruit them to your side. And then you can either use them to fight or you can fuse them together. So basically you can take two demons and make a different demon, sometimes more powerful. So it's a really fun part of the game. And it's kind of like right now what I think of when I think of Shin Megami Tensei. There's a ton of mechanics, like I said, but you actually learn them. I never really had to look up and go like, how the fuck does this work? You know, like there are so many things in Monster Hunter that are just totally unexplained that I had to look up and go, how do I use this? What is this? In this game, that hasn't happened. I've watched some tip videos and I like had to learn a little bit more or maybe like a little detail or something. But for the most part, You got Gustav you talk to, you got the World of Shadows and all sorts of things. And it's all about mixing and matching your demons and fusing them and all that. So it's not too bad. It's not too bad, but it you will benefit from picking up a tip or two. So like I said, I'm about 12 hours in. I'm at a very interesting place in the game. In the beginning, when you end up going to this alternate Tokyo, I have been in there the entire time. I actually thought it was like a tutorial area at first. It's not. It's a full area. And I've been kind of slow going through it because I've been learning the basic mechanics of SMT as I've gone. I've certainly spent too much time grinding. I'll talk about it in a bit. But like, it's too much time grinding when you really didn't need to, that sort of thing. Maybe getting a little lost. But I'm about 12 hours in and I just got back to Tokyo and it was actually really cool to see my friends again. It just felt like a long time between those kind of story sequences. But like I said, I don't think it's really should have been 12 hours. I think if I played this game again, I can do it a lot faster. But that's where I am right now. So if you've been playing the game and you know where that is, I won't talk about it in any bit more because anything more is just more of a spoiler. And if you didn't know, Persona is a spinoff of the Shin Megami Tensei series, and they do have a lot of similarities. I have played Persona 4 Golden, and this is my honestly I've only played Persona 4 Golden. I dabbled in a couple others for like 10-20 minutes, but I really enjoyed Persona 4 Golden, and if Persona 5 was on Switch, I'd be playing it right now instead of recording. it's a spinoff of it. I would say it feels more chic and cool, but in the Persona games, you actually go back and forth between these demon worlds and the real world much more quickly. I don't know what the rest of SMT has in store, but this is like the first time I've gotten back, so we'll see how it is. But anyway, I feel like I just played a 12-hour tutorial, Let's get into, I'm going to call them 5 meaty tips here if you want to get into Shin Megami Tensei 5 for the Switch. And my first tip is going to be that the map is very helpful in this game. There's a little mini map in the bottom left corner, but if you press the plus button, you'll get the bigger map. And you'll want to do that a lot. The map is going to show you, if you have any side quests, it'll actually show you where you need to go for all the side quests, although it won't tell you what particular quest it's for. But you're going to go through that map and you're going to see little icons for where your fairy character can find items for you, where you're going to find essences and things like that. It is worth going through and exploring every nook and cranny of this game. You will run into some invisible walls from time to time. I wish it wasn't so invisibly. But yeah, there's a... I really love exploring the world. There are these big red squids. I forget what they call them, but they'll say like big red squids. And what they'll do is they will take up a big portion of your map, a big like emanating like circle, like waves, and block what's in there. So it'll be hard to figure out how to navigate through there or what items are there, that sort of thing. I don't know if defeating these squids is required per se, but you should defeat everyone that you see. Because what'll happen is once you defeat them, you will clear up that area of the map and make it a lot more easy to navigate. Also, those guys will also send off enemies constantly when you're close to them. And the other thing is they will give you miracles that you can then purchase later with the glory that you get. I'll talk about that a little bit later. So you want to defeat them all. You would never want to just like leave one if you could. Like I said, I'm not sure if they're required or not, but you should consider them required if you're going to like power up. So yeah, use your map, explore the area. And that leads right into my second tip, which is explore for sure. You not only want to find these Meemans and you're going to bring them back to Gustav. Well, you don't have to bring them back to Gustav, but every time you find a Meeman, you get 5 glory. There's these other items that will give you a lot more glory at one time. But glory is a currency for purchasing upgrades for your character. I mean, just like tons and tons of upgrades. And some of the more important upgrades are to be able to hold more demons. It's a huge upgrade because as you play this game, you're going to want to capture demons, even demons you're not really interested in, because that demon might be a vital part of the recipe to get a demon that you really need later in the game. So you always want to kind of keep your demon stock filled up so you have these options. Think about it like as dinner. You want to have a bunch of food in your pantry so when it's dinner time, you have options for what to make, right? You can also, and when you get those miracles and you purchase them with your glory, it can increase your character's ability to get Magatsui, which is sort of like a special magic power that you can use and you're going to want to have ready when you fight every boss in this game. But yeah, don't consider exploring like a collectible hunt. You know, you want this stuff up front. This is not a game where you're going to go beat and then go back and I want to find all the Meemans. Yeah, there might be one or two that you missed. But you're going to want to try to get these guys your first time through. There's tons of items you're going to get. There's these sutras, which will increase sort of your demon's affinity strengths. I think I'll talk about this one a little later, too. But like a lot of things will actually really improve your character and your strength. So wipe the map clean. And it's really fun. I guarantee you. I have so much fun just exploring. Sometimes I'll sit down with a game. I'm not even trying to beat a boss or advance my story. I'm just going to explore these areas and try to find stuff. Definitely a big tip. So third tip, you're going to be dying a lot, especially if you're new to this game. You're going to die. I've died so many times. I hate the freaking die screen, right? When you play Pokemon, you generally don't really die. Maybe a couple times in a game, you'll get in a bad spot or whatever. You'll faint and whatever. This game, you do die a lot. You just got to be careful. You have to pay attention to the demons you're fighting. I've been like kind of... I'll be like fighting sometimes demons and just kind of half paying attention because I feel like it's a easy win. And the next thing I know, I'm like dead. And I'm like, what the hell? It's just going to happen. You're going to die to enemies. You're going to die to bosses. Now, if you die to regular enemies that are on the map and they're not random encounters, you do see them on the map. That's kind of on you, right? You got to keep an eye on your health. If you press the R button, you can auto heal with, you know, if you have a character, if you have a demon in your party, you can do auto heal. There are gems that you'll find in the overworld as you're running around that will help you as well and give you health and MP and stuff and Magatsui. But if you die, so if you die to enemies, you made a mistake or, you know, whatever. But if you die to a boss, it is very important to make sure you know why. So first time you fight a boss in this game, pay attention to every attack they make and what the affinity is, right? Is it fire? Is it ice? What are they attacking you with? Because these boss demons actually don't have a lot of attacks. They might have 3 or 4 that they use. So if you pay attention, you say, oh, they're using fire attacks on me. I need to become more fireproof with my demons. Or, oh, I can use ice on them. They're very weak against ice, so I want to have demons that have more ice attacks. Grinding, if you run into a boss that you have trouble with, in other games, usually what I'll do is I'll just start grinding, and then I'll fight them again. I'll level up like 5 times, and then I'll go fight them, and I'll win. Grinding is actually not as productive in this game, which is a good thing or a bad thing, depending on how you look at it. But it's a good thing because it means you don't have to sit there and just keep fighting. I swear sometimes I fight enemies and I get no experience from them, just very little. But grinding is not going to be the end all be all. So when you fight a boss that first time, pay really good attention because you are likely going to die. And when you die, that will inform what you need to do to fix it. So I'll give a great example. Towards like recently, within the last hour of my gameplay, I was fighting this boss, Nuwa. Her name was Nuwa. She was just like a super sponge. My attacks were doing very little damage to her. But I did notice that one of my demons had a really powerful fire attack, and she was weak to that. Okay. But she kept killing me, and she had this one attack that was very powerful. It was like a force attack. It was very powerful, and it generally wiped me out. So I was getting pretty frustrated, also debating quitting at that time, too. And I couldn't figure out how to beat her, and I was like, how am I going to wipe out her health? There's no way. So I had to look up a hint guide. And I'm so glad I did, because the hint to beat her really finally cemented how battling works in this game. So the first thing it said is, you want, like, these two demons are very strong with fire. One of those demons I already had, so I knew that. But there was this other demon that was also strong to fire, who I had remembered from the demon fusion before, and I'll talk about the demon fusion next. And so I was like, oh, I need to get that guy. And luckily, I was very close to getting that demon character. So I was able to do that, and I had two demon characters very strong with fire. Good. That's her weak point. You need to use fire attacks. It's not an option like in Pokemon. If they are weak to fire, you need to get fire on them. The other thing was that she did this force attack, and it was just wiping out my whole party. It attacked everybody. So the merchant in the game, his name is Gustav, he sells what he calls dampeners. And what a dampener is an item that you use, and only your main character can use it, but it applies to all of your allies, and it will completely defend you. I don't know why I call it a dampener, but it will completely defend you from that attack one time. I think on that turn, but it will completely defend you from that attack. Well, oh boy, that force attack does nothing now because I had a force dampener. Wow. Pretty cool. And I'm not usually a buff debuff guy when I play RPGs. I'm really sort of like get myself OP and just use basic attacks. But buffs and debuffs are so valuable in this game. And that dampener, really powerful. Keep an eye on those. Try to buy them up. Always have a few. It doesn't mean you have to use them. But if you die to a boss and reload your game, you're going to get it back. But they're going to come in handy. In fact, I'm going to start making sure I'm well stocked with those dampeners. Because like I said before, bosses often only have, this character only has 4 attacks. 2 of them are pretty easy. I mean, like, you can deal with getting hit, but this one attack was like super powerful. So having this dampener really helped with the damage I'm taking. And then just knowing that, hey, if they're weak to fire, sometimes that's the only thing that will get them. The other thing that was really annoying was that it's one of those fights where when she gets to half health, the fight is over. I hate that. I freaking hate that. Just make the health meter an indication of where I need to get to. I know I have to run it down and I win. Stop giving them more health or a second phase. Stop stopping a fight a quarter or halfway through. Xenoblade 2 did that too. I hate that. I need to have an idea of where I need to go so I can manage my items. But if you don't make me just run their meter out, I do not know when I need to use some rare item. I hate that. But yes, that's basically it. All right, 4th tip. These are some basics, actually, and really handy because I had trouble early on. Making money, there's the main currency in this game is called maka. Making money is really, really hard early on. I was constantly under 600 maka for like the first several hours of this game. and you have to use maca to refill your health and your MP. There's other ways to do it, like finding gems, but there's not like a Pokemon Center where you can just go and refresh your guys and save your game and that's it. You need to use money to refill those things a lot in this game. And so I was constantly using my maca for that stuff. And I felt like I was in college. I felt like I never had much money in my checking account, you know. The key to money is that there are these vending machines all over the place. And I was able to find them. There's these glowing vending machines all over the place that kind of resemble old Earth. And you'll get sodas out of them and stuff like that. A lot of these items, they call some of these items artifacts. You can sell to Gustav, and he pays decent money for them. So basically, when you go to Gustav, just sell all of your artifacts. There's no reason to keep any of them. Sell all your artifacts. You'll get money. I was like always at around 500-600 maca. Now I'm at like close to 20,000 maca. Sell your artifacts. Sell. You do not need to keep them. You don't have to sell your items, your medicines or anything. You should keep all those. But find those vending machines all the time. Always stop at the vending machine and grab them. I think they do refill after some period of time. But yeah, never skip them. You need that money. It's very important. And Gustav sells some very valuable things. So he can sell shards and gems. Those are, you see them in lots of RPGs, ways to do elemental attacks that you don't have those attacks. So if you have a fire guy, but you want to do an ice attack, you can use a shard or a gem and do an ice attack. And because this game, it's very important to have those affinities, those can come in handy. If you don't want to like lose a demon because of a particular boss fight or a particular battle that you're having, you know, use the ice gems, and then you can keep your fire guy for a little bit longer. And then what I mentioned before, those dampeners too, those are going to be super valuable to defend attacks. And it's cool because they work on all your allies, and I think they work absolutely. So you want to stay stocked up on those as well. And then the last tip, and this goes to the crux of the game. You're going to do what's called demon fusion in the World of Shadows. I haven't talked about it, but there's these blue beams of light throughout the world. That's where you can save your game. That's where you can spend your maca to refill your health and stuff. Gustav is there. And this is where the World of Shadows is. Basic idea is you can take two demons that you have and merge them to create a new demon. Oftentimes they're more powerful. Sometimes they're less powerful. But that's just how it works. You're going to do this throughout the game. You're going to move from demon to demon. You could have a really good, let's say, ice demon. But you need to like fuse them with some other, you know, sometimes basic enemy. Like you might think of it as a common enemy, and you can fuse them to get some powerful fire demon. Okay. You're going to do this all the time. Split them up, put them back together, all that stuff. The biggest point of advice I can possibly say for SMT, do not get attached to your demons. In Pokemon, you name them, you love them, you transfer them from game to game to game to game. You know, they're powerful. They just wipe out entire armies. Not in SMT. I had a mermaid. You fight her early on in the game. She's got a really cool animation and this really strong ice attack. And I love her. She's like practically naked. I just love her. And I had to trade her in so I could get a particular demon that had a particular affinity. And I hated it. It's like, no, I want my mermaid. I want her to evolve and I want her to hang with me the whole game. Don't get attached. Now, the good news is that you can get the mermaid again later on. There are demons that I've captured, that I've merged, I've fused, got new demons, and then pick them up again later. Oftentimes, you'll want to pick them up again later because you're going to need them in another recipe to get a different demon. I should point out at this point that you can't have more than one of the same demon in your party or in your collection at any given time. So if you have a mermaid you really like, you can't have three mermaids. If you're fighting some boss that's weak to ice, you can't just have a three mermaid army. You literally can only have the one, which sounds weird because in Pokemon you can have as many as you want, but it makes a lot of sense because they're going to basically say, no, you can't just pick this one character that's strong with something. You need to find a different character that's strong at that same thing. But yeah, Demon Fusion is the thing. And when you do Demon Fusion, there's a in the menu, there's a place where it says Demon Fusion. I like to do the Reverse Fusion, which is really poorly named because you would think it would be like pulling a demon apart. Reverse Fusion just is a screen that shows you all the possible demons that you can make with your current party. And then you can just click one and it'll show you which demons you need. Sometimes there's different combinations of demons and then you can make it. It's just a nice way to say, hey, what's available to me with the demons I have? If you do Demon Fusion, they make you pick one demon and then they show you what you can make, what you can make with that demon. I always do the Reverse Fusion. So that's my tip. Use the Reverse Fusion. It sounds weird, but it's just a easier way to go about this. Oftentimes you'll see, what's the most powerful demon I can make right now? And you go, okay, I want that guy. And you go, oh no, I got to use my mermaid. I'm so sad. But yeah, that's a big key to the game. And then the other big part of it is the miracles and the essence fusion. So I talked about miracles before. Miracles are when you use glory as currency to improve your core character, your main character. I think that's all you can improve with it. You just constantly want to find these little it's so hard to remember the name of all these things, these Mimons. You always want to find these Mimons to get glory. And then you also want to fight those, like I said, those red squids to get more and more miracles that are available to you. And then you want to purchase those miracles and your character will become much stronger. And easily the most important part of the game is being able to hold more demons. So that's the miracles. Essence Fusion, I believe, is new to this game. I haven't played any of the others, but I've heard that this is new. It is a way you get Essence Fusion. You get the essence of demons without having the demon. So instead of fusing demons, you actually use the essence of demons to give yourself an extra attack. So maybe like my main character, it's like he really needs an ice attack. So I can use Essence Fusion to get like an ice attack from an ice character. It's really handy for sort of augmenting a character and giving them just that one attack so you have a few more options when you go against bosses. I have this fire guy, but also have an ice guy. Keep in mind too, with demons, they have these like proclivities for what they're good at, what their affinities are. So if you have a demon that's like +3 with ice, that means if they have an ice skill, that skill will hit more strongly. And sometimes they have negative proclivities. So what do they call? I think they call it skill affinity, skill potentials. So their skill potential might be a -2 for fire, meaning even if I give this character a fire attack, it's going to be a pretty bad fire attack, not very strong. So you do want to keep track of things. But like I said, sometimes you can just give a nice fire attack to an ice character and they can just do a basic fire attack and it'll have a lot of helpfulness for you. So those are 5 basic tips. It's hard to like just kind of talk about these if you haven't played the game. But if you play the game for a little bit, maybe listen to this podcast again and it'll help you. Definitely check out some tip videos and stuff. It's just like with Monster Hunter. Sometimes you don't want to watch these videos. You feel like you're making it too easy. You're learning things that you really want to learn on your own. But oftentimes, if you don't know these basic things that aren't explained to you all the time, it makes you just not want to play the game. So if you feel like I'm really not having fun with this, I think I'm going to quit this game, you know, come talk to me or find a video or something. You might find, you go, oh, now that I understand that, it makes the game, I understand it more. So we'll end with this. How am I liking it so far? I'm about 12 hours in. There has been a couple times where I was ready to quit the game. I was actually giving myself until Friday to quit. I had to decide because Pokemon was coming out. And it's like, am I just going to play Pokemon or am I going to play this? And almost quit on it. There was like one day, I think it was a Thursday. I didn't play the game at all. And obviously it was like, I didn't want to. But I got to say, I really am enjoying it. I know if I quit the game, by the way, I'm never coming back to it. But I'm really enjoying it. Look, I mean, sometimes the menuing gets clunky. You want to arrange your party. You have to do that in your menu. You want to save the game. You have to go to those little blue beams. And then you got to go to a different menu area to like improve, like, you know, refill the health of your guys. But like, you know, you get kind of used to it. There's lots of dying. I've died way too many times as I've kind of had to learn this game. And like I said, if I played it again, I would die a lot less. I'd have a better idea of what I'm doing. But there's lots of dying, and sometimes, you know, oh, here comes that animation. I'm on the floor again. You're like, ugh. Getting ready to hit that home button and delete the app. Bosses, there does seem to be a difficulty spike with every boss. There are times when I'll fight the common enemies and I'm like, no problem. You know, even if I don't have, you know, real good affinity strengths versus their weaknesses, I can get through it. Then you get to a boss and you hit them and it just barely takes a dent in their health meter. But I have to say, when I was fighting this boss, I was just talking about Nuwa, just the couple of hints that I got for how to beat her really weren't just specific to her, really opened my eyes to what the hell am I doing in this game with the bosses. But like, I've had a few bosses where I just got pounded by these bosses and like, how much do I have to grind to do better against this boss? And like I said, it's not about the grinding. Yeah, you can do some grinding and upgrade a couple levels, especially your own level, because there are ways to more quickly increase the experience of your demons. But once they get to your level, you can't do that anymore. But yeah, it really did help. And I gave you some of those tips. The battles can take a little while sometimes. I like RPGs where I can just keep tapping A and do basic attacks and get through battles really quickly and grind. You really got to think your way through at times. You got to pay attention. But on the same end, grinding is not as valuable in this game. So it kind of offsets. You'll have to put a little more attention in, but you don't have to do it as much. Sometimes I just forget to capture demons. You want to try to capture, like, if you have room in your demon squad, in your like demon inventory, capture some demons, demons you haven't found before, but even demons that you have captured before, because those are used in recipes to fight, to make bigger demons. For some reason, sometimes I just forget to capture them, just like with Pokemon. Like sometimes I kind of forget to capture the Pokemon. I get so into just fighting and getting experience points, but don't forget to capture them. Quick tip on that one. Generally, when you go through your four characters to attack, you'll get bonus moves if you attack weaknesses. So what'll happen is your main character goes first and then your three demons will go in order. And then you'll come back up to your main character again, just on one turn. Oftentimes, if I'm going to talk to a demon to try to capture them, not capture them, but convince them to come over to my party, I do it on the second cycle. Because if you talk to a demon and you mess up the negotiation, oftentimes it'll be the enemy's turn. And so not only did you not get the demon, but now the enemy's getting maybe a second turn in a row. So I like to like go through my characters, attack, get damage in, maybe kill a character or two. Then on the way back up, then I try to convince them to join my party. So just in case it fails, I got through a series of attacks at least. So that's a big thing there. Like I said, don't get connected to your demons. You're going to have to like fuse them. So that's it. But yeah, like I've really enjoyed doing the quests. I have really enjoyed looking for the Mimons. Just a lot of exploring. Oftentimes when I'm not feeling very powerful, I just explore for a while. I try to finish off side quests that I find. There was one side quest that I like had kind of doing. I wasn't working on it. And it was like a side quest where this character said, you need to go kill this person for me because they're evil. And I wasn't really doing it, but eventually I came back to it. I go found the character and that character tells me I'm not evil. She's evil. So she's like, you should go kill her. And you have to decide if you just want to go ahead and kill this person or go ahead and kill the other person. But the cool part is that when I killed the other person, I actually had this other character join my party and they were pretty powerful. So that was really cool. So the side quests always have some surprises. It makes it fun. And you can get some characters that you really didn't foresee. And then an hour later, you're fusing them with somebody else to get some other monster. It's just a lot of like, a lot of demons coming in and out. But overall, I've been having fun. Now that I've gotten to this point where I went back to Tokyo and now I'm like learning what's going on and seeing my friends again and stuff. And, you know, I may be looking at a situation where I can keep coming back to this other area. The game is really changing in terms of its dynamic, where I was stuck in this one place for a long time, and now maybe that's going to lighten up a little bit. So, yeah, I'm all in for now. I have heard that the end of the game can get really hard. We'll see when I get there. I am not beyond cutting it down to more of a beginner level. I know James Music, you're out there. Friend of the show, he went down to easy level before he got distracted by an League of Legends game. I'm not ready for that yet. I want to keep that there because I feel like the difficulty is helping me to figure out the game, right? If I keep dying, it means I'm doing something wrong in the game. So it has helped me do that. But I think as it gets later in the game, I might just throttle it down. Once I feel like I know the game really well and now it's just more difficult than my patience can handle, I'll throttle it down. But I'm not there yet. So looking forward to getting back into it, though. I'm really enjoying it. You may or may not like it, but it's a pretty good time. And if you're really into like playing a kind of well-known sort of cult beloved series that you've never played before, you know, this is a good option here. It's a nice, deep, meaty RPG with a story and with some interesting new mechanics that you probably haven't seen before. It's a good time. So SMT5. I'd love to know if I can convince anybody to play this game. Let me know if you need help. Honestly, if you ask me for help, I might be asking you for help too. I'm mostly just playing this game on my own. I don't really know anybody who plays this series. I know Fartsy on Twitter really likes it, but he hasn't played this one yet. So I'm kind of mostly alone. Whereas with Monster Hunter, there was people I knew that were playing. I don't know anybody in the Dad's Discord at all who's playing this game. So play with me. Let's talk about it. Let's get a channel. But anyway, that's all I have. We'll see you next week for our regular episode. It should be fun with Hambone Johnny joining us. And then the next episode we do after that is going to be our Games of the Year, which I'm really excited about. I love Game of the Year time season. So, yep. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Good night, dads.
The Dads After Dark Show is a part of the Nintendo Dads family of podcasts. You can subscribe to us anywhere podcasts are available, including iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. Be sure to join us on the Nintendo Dads Discord in the Dads After Dark Show channel for some naughty After Dark talk. Follow us on Twitter at @NDadsAfterDark. Ask us a question, and we may answer it on the show. That's all for tonight. Good night, Dads. Sweet dreams.